This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Again, fellow basement dwellers, this is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you in to another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you by the Chair Shot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And I would like to hopefully be the first to wish you a happy new year on these internet airwaves, as it is January 1st, 2024, and we are bringing you a very special edition of Bandwagon Nerds, part one of two, as voted upon by 11 listeners, probably a record low. We give you the nerdies.
Did we get up to 11?
We got to 11. 11 votes. The nerdies wins at poll close. The nerdies.
A.K.A. Streamies, and we couldn't figure out what to call them.
And so it is now called the nerdies, because that's what it is. Those voices you've heard, PC Tunney, David Ungar. We are also joined once again by our good friend from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Still, I hear a quality podcast. I hear it's good. Our good friend DJ joining us as well. Someday. DJ, but today is not that day. So I of course, Patrick O'Dowd, wrestling realist, number one chair shot villain, all of that good stuff. The holiday season is over. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the four of us on our Christmas special. I thought that was a lot of fun. We did the holiday project redux. Good times. Dave, good post-production work. I was pleased to hear the very lengthy Alistair Sims speech.
Yeah, Dave. Great job.
Tony
just throwing.
No, Tony just.
I was just like I was. Not a fan. I was out myself.
Way to put it over, pal.
No, that I didn't listen. I was listening. My bad.
Oh,
that's not exactly.
That
still
was
putting
definitely
it over.
Not the way we read that. We read that as you listened to the whole damn show and we're like, "Fuck, no. What the hell was Dave doing?"
No, it's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, good job, Dave. Yeah, yeah."
I thought the Blink 182 outro song was very appropriate for us. So
it kind of worked. How was everybody's holiday week? I can tell you what I got for Christmas. I got a $40 gift card to Amazon and COVID. So that was awesome.
Is that like a two-for-one deal that they were doing on Amazon
or
something?
Did they come together or did you get those separately?
I'm not sure if they... No, I was not sold.
Where it is? Your wife's name? What's your wife's name?
Amazon.
Julie, right? Does she shop on the dark web or...
Julie's actually, I got the perfect bundle for you, sweetie.
No, it was funny because, you know, I started feeling crappy about a week or so ago from when we're recording this, about a week or so ago, but really wasn't feeling sick until I didn't really feel like anything was coming on until like Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, I woke up and I was like, yeah, I got a cold. I should just test for COVID just to be safe. Christmas miracle. COVID it was. And this is probably the best I've felt in a couple of days. Like I've been down and out for the count. I went bowling because I was outside of the, I'm outside of the infection window and all that. Fucking gassed, guys. Like was just like two frames in and I'm like, good Lord, what is going on? Shot a 258. So
get sick
that
often.
Was awesome.
Jesus.
That's the real reason that we got asked about our Christmas right there. So Patrick could tell us
no,
that
he's
258. And by the way, I also had COVID.
He took two side rows and a detour to tell us he shot 258 in bowling.
Now the other two games I shot 183s. So it wasn't exactly like I tore the world up, but that 258 was pretty dope. So yeah, let's hear it from me. But I mean, I almost care about your holidays. Tony, how was your holiday?
Is that a new patch you can get from the PBA? Is the COVID 600? You can throw that on your bag.
No, I do not get a COVID 600.
Okay.
I was not contagious with COVID, by the way, folks. Before y'all go nuts, I was outside of my infection window and was feeling better yesterday from when we record this to where I felt well enough to bowl and then was gassed. Anyway, how was your holiday, Tony?
The recreational activities continue. You got to bowl 2 days before Christmas. I got to golf. Had a good time on Christmas Eve with my nephews and good food over there. And other than that, just been hanging out.
Very nice. Very nice. DJ?
It's been nice. I've been off this whole week. Did Christmas Eve with my aunt. Did Christmas Day with Tina's family. And as you mentioned, the COVID, sitting around today, just kind of futzing around. All of a sudden, my aunt texts me. Her boyfriend tested positive for COVID. He was there. About 15 minutes later, one of my uncles and his wife, who were also there, tested positive. So Tina tested. I haven't tested yet because right now I don't really have any symptoms. But I texted my ex-wife, my son, who was with us down Sunday. He was with her. He wasn't feeling well yesterday. He's positive for COVID. So we're probably going to wrap up this recording, and I'm probably going to go test.
Attaboy. It's a COVID Christmas, everyone.
It is. Dave. Merry COVID, everybody.
Dave,
and God bless us, everyone.
I've been.
No, do you have COVID, Dave? I mean, everybody else has COVID.
I don't think so. I don't know. I've been sick for like 2 weeks, but it's kind of like just in my head and in my ears now. So if it was COVID, it's probably.
You think you're sick?
It's probably evolved now into something totally different.
It's evolved. It's gained sentience.
Yeah,
you did some holiday walking and stuff. You did some light trails, right?
We did. We went to on the 23rd. We went up to Magic Mountain for the holiday in the park, and my son got, you know, we got to do s'mores. And it's like, it's funny, every time we go there, we watch the scene from The Sandlot where he explains exactly how to do it so that we don't mess up. You know, it's like, because okay, ham gives you the perfect blueprint as to how to do s'mores properly. And I think we did okay with that. Probably put the stick in the marshmallow too far, which was a fun mess to clean up, but that was all right. And then the next day, like you're saying, we went to the local zoo here, does like these holiday lights where they decorate the entire zoo in holiday lights. And they've got this great train ride that goes through there. And it's usually just like a kid's train ride. It's been a drive-through since COVID started. This was the first year they went back to a walk-through, and it was like you know, seeing an old friend for the first time in 3 years is like, oh, I remember this is how it is. And this is so much better than just sitting in the car, driving through and just kind of like, yeah. So yeah, that was fun. And Christmas was pretty low key. Just kind of, I cooked some stuff here on the Traeger, did some filet mignon. Tony would have liked it. And, yeah, it was a good time.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So the Nerdies, that's what we got. We have it's a 2-part episode. I can see Tony is in love with the name. He will continue to call it, though. We couldn't call it the Streamy. So he could think of it, whatever that word salad was that you threw out there. And that's fine. We know you well enough to know what you're going to do, but we are going to cover 7 categories today, folks. I'm going to be very upfront with this. This particular show, this is the second year we've done this. We don't really have a lot of rules with this. And so these categories really are kind of open to our own interpretation as to how we define something. And so we're going to have these categories it's not like our listicle shows. It's not like our projects where, like, if we have the same one, you know, we're sharing and we're raising hands and stopping. You know, there might be somebody who jumps in and be like, oh, I had that too, and that's great. I did, prior to the show, guys, I did put together an order for everybody under each category in a rotation. So I'm just going to surprise you all with it as I go through and read it off. But I'm assuming everybody had time to do the homework with the categories. These are probably the more vague. A couple of them are kind of some of the more vague categories that you can work with. So thank you, Tony. I see your thumb noted. Boy, you're like super troll today.
Feisty.
I literally woke up from a nap like 45 minutes ago.
I was watching bad football, so I got
That's why I fell asleep.
Were the Commanders on a day or two early or something?
Is that no, what you're it's watching? it's college bowl season, man, and it's, you know, you watch half a team play that didn't play all season because everybody sits out now, and who can blame those kids for sitting out? But you, boy, howdy!
You watch every double-digit mid-major team lose to a 6-6 Power 5 team by double digits.
Oh yes, there's that too. With their backups, because again, those 6-6, like the guys who have pro prospects are sitting out. People are transferring already. It's just the bowl season is pointless. There's no reason for it anymore, especially now with the college football playoff the way it is, other than the money. And as long as the money is there, and we can watch a Pop-Tart get cooked on live television and eaten, we're gonna keep doing it. So we got that going.
I'm here for it.
But all right. Well, like I said, we are going to, before we jump into this, we are going to take our first commercial break. We're come back. We're going to do 3 of the 7 topics in between this first commercial break and the second. We'll take our second commercial break. We'll do the last 4. So kind of a nice, neat, tidy show. We'll talk a little bit more on the backside. So stay with us, everyone. The Nerdies Part 1. When we come back, you are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds, part one of the Nerdies, here getting you through your New Year's Day hangover. Patrick Redoubt, PC Tunney, David Ungar, DJ, all going to give you our best of the best in the nerdosphere. I forgot to mention it. If you're having a good New Year's and you want to just make it a little bit better, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Get yourself some chair shot swag. That'll really start the year off right. Get that Bandwagon Nerd shirt. Get it soft style. It's only a few dollars more, but your giblets will thank you. And if you get that Bandwagon Nerd shirt, we're going to thank you on the show publicly. It's going to happen.
And Patrick O'Dowd will come to your house and thank you.
Personally. I will not come to your house. No. Nope.
If you live somewhere cool, PC Tunney and I will come and thank you personally.
You know, okay, guys, we want people to buy the shirts. We want them to buy the shirts.
That's true.
All right. If you buy a shirt, Chris Platt will come to your house.
There you go.
I'm not going to anybody's house. I don't even like people enough to go to their houses.
And nobody wants you at their house anyway.
I don't disagree with them.
Every listeners of the Bandwagon, sleep easy. DJ's not coming to your house.
Yeah, everyone can relax. We'll send Ray Cash to your house before we send DJ.
There you go.
All right. Let's get to our first category of the Nerdies. This year, it is our best under the radar pick. Now, this could be a movie, could be a series, could be anything, because it's our categories in our lists. We don't really have a lot of parameters. The order of reveal will be for this category: David Ungar, Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, and DJ.
Well, I will kick off the Nerdies, and my award for under the radar thing of the year is Wheel of Time Season 2. No one talked about this show. I've watched it, and I think I've got like the last episode to go, but it has been really good so far. And I know a lot of people don't dig it. Patrick is making an interesting looking face. I know his wife is a big fan of it, and she, I'm sure Patrick will regale me with her feelings on this, but I've really enjoyed season two. I thought it was a little, it's tighter than season one was, and they bring in some different elements and some much more malevolent sort of enemies. And I very much have enjoyed watching it. I think it's, and I don't know if they'll get any more out of it than this, but I hope so, because they've really done a good job at broadening the world and giving some life to these characters who were kind of wooden in season one. And here in season two, they're more fleshed out. They're different. You see them all kind of coming into their own in different ways. So that's, I mean, no one talked about it. It's one of Prime's cornerstone things. For me, under the radar thing of the year is Wheel of Time season two.
Yeah, the reason the Mrs. O'Dowd hating that show so much is why we haven't touched season two yet. That first season, I've never watched a woman hate watch a show.
Yeah, right.
With such gusto, like wouldn't stop watching it. Like we had to see it through, but was like angry after every episode. So I don't know. We'll see what happens if I can get her down there.
It was her lock and key season three. That is exactly what it was. It was
very much so.
I did not need to keep watching that, though, to hate it. I was solidified in my hatred without...
Bound and obligated to...
Tunney's Under the Radar show, by the way. I can't believe you stole Tunney's Under the Radar show.
Just dragged to the end.
I promise to give it a shot. I'm going to be paying a visit to Prime Video soon, or Prime Streaming anyway. As soon as we're going to be covering Invincible season two coming up very, very shortly. And so it'll be there. I'll be open and available to it. So we'll have to give that a look.
Yes, what you think?
For me, my under the radar pick is probably my most recent thing that I've watched and that I just told you guys that you should all check out in our Bandwagon Nerds chat. And that is the animated series Blue Eye Samurai, which has been confirmed for a season two. The animation alone is phenomenal. It's just, it's gorgeous artwork. It's set during a period of Japanese isolation. And it's the story of a woman who is posing as a man. She is the child of a white man and a Japanese mother. She has, amongst the options of who could be her father, one of four white men who are basically like gun traders that are trying to bring themselves into feudal Japan and take it over using their advanced weaponry. And so they're working within Japanese shoguns and lords, and she is cutting a swath in disguise. And there's so many other subplots to it. There's a ton of him. It's an almost all Asian cast. Kenneth Branagh is the voice of the primary antagonist in the film, as well as the lone Englishman that you know of. I really, really enjoyed this series. I think it's really, really good. I hope more people check it out, because I want to see this story actually reach its conclusion. And it needs eyeballs in order to do that. So Blue Eye Samurai was mine on Netflix. PC Tunney, what is your under the radar winner for the nerdy?
Mine is a way of consuming a lot of the media that we get. And it's Screen X, because I feel like it's the definition of being under the radar. It's something that's new. It's something that's innovative. Myself and Ray Cash have both gone to movies and Screen X. More and more theaters, they're popping up. And I think this is going to be the wave of what's going to happen throughout the next year and a half. I think by the summer of 25, in every major market in America, you're going to be able to go to a Screen X and see your superhero movies, your giant animated movies, your action movies, your movies with dramatic cinematography and landscapes and backgrounds and everything like that. You get this visual of 270 degrees wrapped around you. In addition to having that sound in the theater, the picture, the visual adds to that and meets that in surrounding you. So I think that it's the antithesis of under the radar, is because it's exactly that right now. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's about to explode, and it's about to become what we will know as going to the movie theater. Screen X is going to take over.
Cool. And there you have it. And this is why we don't put parameters on these categories, because you never know how the result's going to yield itself. I am interested to see these theaters crop up. I absolutely will check one out. Soon.
And there you go. I was just going to say, like, DJ, Dave, Patrick's already confirmed it. Once you have a theater within a half an hour to drive to, and there's a movie that fits a Screen X that you want to watch it, you will go and see and do that. Because I think Ray went and saw the Marvels in it and loved it. I saw the creator in it and loved it. And, you know, when you put that action and you put that dramatic cinematography with that beautiful backdrop and surround it. Now, it's not for the entire movie, but in a lot of the major parts, in addition to other lighting that's happening around you. So
it sounds really cool, like IMAX on steroids or something. So I will look forward to seeing it one of these days somewhere. Well, I'm sure it's in LA, or if I want to go down there.
All right. So DJ, it is now to you.
All right. Well,
under the radar show or movie or thing.
My under the radar movie, and actually this one kind of jumped back and forth between one of the other categories, is actually a 2022 movie that I didn't see until this year, called Troll. It's a foreign film, obviously, you know, it's a kind of a schlocky type of thing. And every now and then I look for that, and I was looking for something sci-fi and just kind of flipping around on Netflix and just couldn't find anything. And I settled in on this one. And it's absolutely schlocky, but it's just a lot of good fun. And if you're a fan of like monster films like King Kong, Godzilla, things like that, it's a good foreign interpretation of that. They awaken this mountain troll, and the mountain troll, again, is like Kong Godzilla size. It's not like this little Tolkien troll type of thing. And it's, you know, on a rampage throughout the countryside, tearing things apart, and they've got to stop it. There's some dynamic between the main woman in the movie and her father, because as she was a child, her father used to tell her the legends of the mountain trolls and, you know, things like that. And she always thought it was just a crazy man telling, you know, kids stories, bedtime stories, and then come to find out that this thing actually exists. It was just a fun little schlocky movie that I discovered this year.
This sounds really familiar, Pat. Didn't we cover this in the trailer park or something?
We might have. It's on Netflix. You can catch it on Netflix. So it's definitely out there. But international film. Definitely something that's not on the typical path for what an average moviegoer would go and check out. All right. So our category number two that we have for this week for the Nerdies is our biggest surprise. Now, I wrote three things down here. I'm gonna only do one, and then I'll pull a Tony and do honorable mentions afterwards. And so, like, look at him, he's wagging his head. Oh, you. This is a Tony thing, I admitted. I had a hard time with this because I think one of them somebody else may say, or wouldn't surprise me if they say. But my biggest surprise that I put down, again, this happened in the month of December, and that is that for 2 weeks, the country of Japan ruled the American box office. Between the domestic premiere of Godzilla Minus One, which didn't win the box office, by the way, I want to be very clear about that, but scored significantly higher in ticket sales than they ever anticipated, so much so that it extended the run not once, but twice, because people wanted to see it so much. The demand was so much that they made, and they didn't lose a ton of money from week one to week two. That was the other thing that was mind-blowing, is they went from $11 million to, for the first week, $8 million or so the second weekend. And I don't know what they did the third weekend, but it was this crazy legit phenomenon that people went out and saw in American movie theaters. And I don't think that Toho had any dream that movie was going to make the money that it made. And you're going to hear from this movie later on in the Nerdies, probably in part two, as much as you're hearing about it in part one. You're going to hear about it from me at least one more time today. So it's been crazy. It's been amazing. And I love it. But you couple that within, so the first week of Godzilla making more money in an American domestic box office than any Japanese live action film had done in history in the United States, followed by Miyazaki's Studio Ghibli's film, The Boy and the Heron, which I also went and saw, making upwards of $25 million, I want to say, at the American box office in its first week of release, winning the American box office that weekend and being the highest Japanese animated film in terms of money domestically in the United States to hit in history. It was,
did it do better than Spirited Away? Because Spirited Away was a huge hit over here, did it?
It did. It was the most successful Japanese animated film in the United States in history. Probably all the strength of, because it is a Miyazaki film, just like Spirited Away is. And Spirited Away is my favorite. And I like Spirited Away better than The Boy and the Heron. But they're already talking about now, and this is what's exciting for me and why I think it was such a surprise. I expected it to do well. I didn't expect it to do this well. And that it is creating a conversation among American cinemas and the idea of being able to release more international films domestically in an outlet that is accessible to a wider audience is very exciting and is nothing but good for not only this show, but American audiences across the world. It's huge. It's unbelievable. And it was my biggest surprise. I would have told you were insane if you would have told me that Japan would win the American box office 2 weeks in a row in December. And it's not until Wonka hit and Wonka did okay that Japan sort of took a backseat and sort of faded a little. So next is PC, then DJ, then Dave.
This is where I put Barbie. I think we all knew it was going to hit.
It's mine as well, Tony.
We all knew it was going to hit from like a pop culture state, because we all came out and said, listen, this is something for all ages, and it's something that everybody recognizes. But we didn't think it was going to make some of the biggest money in motion picture history. We didn't think that just the cast that it ended up having, we did not know ahead of time. We knew like the big names that were featured, but the amount of A-list talent that was in this movie that wanted to be there, the post effects of it. Like, I think in California, they have like the actual Barbie dream house and all these Barbie things that you can see and go visit. What else? And here's what else it is inspired. How many of these toys or iconic things from the past now have been greenlit to go ahead with the movie process because of Barbie, right? A lot of nostalgia things, toys, etc. Yeah, Dave, it's where I decided to put specifically the movie Barbie.
It's funny. Hopefully I'm not stepping on, and Dave, I'll let you go in a second. I don't know what DJ has, so we'll keep that in mystery. I had Barbenheimer, like that whole phenomenon.
Part of the show today.
So
I had Barbie here as well. And I think, you know, since the Nerdies are kind of structured, Tunney knows this because we've done it for 9 years, structured after the Swaggies quite a bit, you know, we generally frown upon honorable mentions for that. But if there's something you feel strongly about, mention it, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, here, I agree with Tunney. Like Barbie, we knew it was, I think like the progression of that when we first watched the trailer for it and you watch it in a vacuum, like, what the hell is this? Then you watch a trailer and you're like, you know, this looks pretty good. And then you watch the second trailer, it's like, this looks better than it has any right to be. And then,
well, how many people are in these trailers as they keep going on? Like, right. Oh, did you see this person's in it now too?
But I mean, you know, they coined a new phrase, Barbie money, based on just how much money this movie pulled in. It was, like Tony, you're saying, we knew it would make money, but not to that extent, not to that level that it's one of the highest grossing films ever. I mean, that's staggering when you think about it. And I agree with you. The cast is phenomenal. They delivered on all fronts. But geez, it just kind of came out of nowhere with the amount of money that thing made. Was just like, okay, I guess so. So yeah. And like you're saying, it greenlit a lot of other projects and a lot of other things and a lot of other properties that they're going to be looking at. And some of it will probably work. Some of it won't. It'll be depending on the cast and that sort of thing. But yeah, nothing was a bigger surprise to me this year than just the amount of success that Barbie had.
Absolutely. Go ahead, DJ. Your biggest surprise of 2023.
My biggest surprise, again, I'm flying way off the radar here, going with another foreign film, mainly because I haven't seen a whole lot in theaters. I have not seen Barbie, haven't seen Oppenheimer, you know, haven't seen any of these films yet, so I can't comment on them. This was a Korean film that, again, was on Netflix called, and I hope I don't butcher the name, it's called Jung-E. It's a set in a dystopian future. This lady, she is a commando who turns into a mercenary basically to pay for her daughter's cancer treatment. And she goes on this mission. The mission fails poorly. She's left in a coma. Well, the company that hired her harvests her body, uses her brain to clone it. And they're constantly replaying her final mission to figure out what went wrong. Meanwhile, the daughter grows up. She becomes part of this company, and she's trying to help her mother, who, again, is still in a coma from all of this. And there's a conspiracy underlying everything that's going on. And it was a very well-crafted film. Again, I had no idea what I was getting into with it. I was, again, just flipping through looking for something to watch. Very well crafted. I don't know what kind of money or budget they work on or work with in Korea, but the film looked great for whatever they had to work with. And side note, the woman that wrote and directed it, and again, I'm probably going to butcher her name, is Yeon Sang-ho. She died prior to the release of the movie, which I thought was tragic. But yeah, just a solid little sleeper hit for me that, again, this one could have very easily fallen under my under the radar title as well.
Cool. I can see DJ is going to challenge us to catch some
taking over the Aesop Mitchell role of the
very much is taking
watch the obscure foreign films.
Well, you know, if it wasn't A24, Aesop didn't care. That was our own joke. That's true. All right. So again, because this is this is the Nerdies and it's, you know, whatever I say. The other surprise that I had, Dungeons and Dragons. Mm. That movie was far better than it had any right to be.
Yep.
Fact.
And I mean, we saw that for the first trailer. We were all on board with like how fun it was going to be. But that movie did that well and that people, again, bought into it when saw it and it got reviewed so well and is already spawning a sequel. That's crazy awesome.
Have they greenlit a sequel for that? Because the last I heard it was in the air.
I can't imagine they wouldn't. The one thing I was going to point out about that, and you're right about being a surprise, is like you said, we all thought it was going to be funny and good, but we didn't know how actual fans that play Dungeons and Dragons would react to it. And the surprise was that it was well made enough to the actual fans of the game enjoyed what they did with the movie. That was a big surprise.
And yet it was still accessible to people who didn't. And I think that was the thing. It was a crossover success of a film. And like, we've watched it multiple times since it's hit streaming.
I'll tell you, like, my runner up here was nobody dying in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That was my runner up big surprise.
Word.
Okay, yeah.
It's funny. Ever since we created the Deadpool, like, nobody dies. It's weird.
We'll get there.
We're saving MCU lives, guys. That's what's happening. There you go. It's us. All right. Moving on to our biggest disappointment of 2023. The order this time is PC, Tunny, followed by DJ, followed by Dave, followed by myself. Tunny, with that smirk of yours, who disappointed you in 2023?
Some things are just so utterly disappointing that they don't even deserve mention. So my biggest disappointment for 2023 is the fact that the series Showtime, the LA Lakers dynasty, was canceled by Max. And this was had already done its second season. Phenomenal actors in the Magic Johnson, Pat Riley, Larry Bird, Kareem. Like, they nailed this. They were telling such an amazing story. Everybody that's a basketball fan was watching this. I know a half dozen friends of mine that were really loving it. Ray and I were very, very upset that this got canceled. Unfortunately, John C. Riley was in this as Jerry Buss, among a bunch of other great, great actors and actresses. So if you ever have a chance, just know it's only two seasons, but you can go back and watch this on Max. And it's gonna go into the lore for me of the series also from HBO, Rome, which ran out of money and only filmed two seasons, which were excellent as well. So there you go, folks. If you liked watching series that have to come to a very quick, brief ending, go watch Rome and Showtime, the story of the LA Lakers.
Interestingly enough, Rome is on my watch list.
I don't know why you watched it, didn't you?
Bad?
I have no idea.
I never got to, like, and maybe I contributed to that, but
I thought they could have carried this on for a while, because what they could have done is they could have done this till the end of the 80s and then have Jordan take over and do Air Jordan. And then you can have the Lakers back again with Kobe and Shaq and into Kobe. And then after that, you can go into like Greg Popovich. Like, you could have done the NBA for the next 40 years, starting where they did with Magic Johnson's rookie season. I mean, the story they told with Dr. J and Larry Bird and intertwined all of this stuff in, like, all these stars of the 90s were just about to come in. You could have, the whole Jordan thing would have been amazing in the same light they did this.
It did surprise me when that show got canceled.
Very sad.
All right, DJ.
What disappointed you
in 2023?
Secret Invasion. I have stood by Marvel for the longest time, even in some of the stuff that a lot of people just have crapped all over, I've defended it. I couldn't get past the third episode. I'll probably finish it just to say that I saw it all, but I absolutely disappointed in what they came out with this.
Was this yours too, Pat?
Okay. Yes. Was it yours too?
No. I was just going to say it started strong. You know, the first few episodes I thought were pretty good, and then it just fizzled out.
Second double nerdy of the night, by the way.
It was, yeah, double nerdy. Here's the thing. I knew this was going to be tough. I knew this was going to be a tough sell for me because of how much I love the storyline from the comics. And I knew, like, I've long defended the MCU with their takes on Secret Invasion on the, like, source material. Like, Marvel does not follow the comics verbatim. They just don't. They kind of keep with the spirit of characters. They keep with the idea of stories. Like, we're watching What If right now, or most of us are checking out What If, and their latest episode, or one of the most recent episodes that they just dropped, was 1602. And What If the Avengers assembled in 1602. For those of you who don't know, 1602 is a run of comics that was written by Neil Gaiman, where Steve Rogers finds himself lost in time and ends up in 1602, and the arrival of Steve Rogers in 1602 then brings about the evolution of superheroes, you know, 500 years too early or 400 years too early, whatever it is. And so the world sort of dealing with that ramification. 1602 in this What If series, nothing to really do with that other than the arrival of Steve Rogers is what fucks everything up. And so even that they nodded to the source material with Steve Rogers being the guy. Now, again, it has its own What If spin to it, and it's different in its own way. Secret Invasion, the only thing that's connective tissue at all is that there's Skrulls that are bad, that are like posing as important figures. But like the story of why and how and what they did, it got so lost and muddled in whatever it was that they were trying to do. Like this, it didn't make sense. It didn't flow. You killed off two of the best characters in the MCU, I would say rather unceremoniously, in Maria Hill and Talos. Like, all to create the Super Skrull at the end. Who are they really, the Super Skrull? Where did they go? Amelia Clark is like this ridiculously OP'd character that's just out there now, and we don't know what the deal is. They took what could have been a compelling story and just they airballed it, in my opinion. Yeah. And it landed flat and was just bad. I did not like it. No, sir.
And Patrick O'Dowd just finished the story for me, so I don't even need to finish the season.
No, you don't. I mean, no, you don't. You should, but you don't.
You don't at all.
But yeah, like it just, and like we thought, okay, this is going to tie directly into the Marvels. It didn't. You know, it just went nowhere. I mean, maybe it'll come around full circle, but like you're saying, the source material, it's one of the most iconic and epic stories in Marvel Comics history. And the series just, it's like, why did you guys go down this path? What was the point of any of this stuff? I mean, why couldn't you just leave it well enough alone? I agree with you guys. It just didn't make sense. It still doesn't make sense to me.
And this has been, I almost put, for my disappointment, I almost didn't hone in on Secret Invasion. I almost said the MCU. It's been a disappointing year for the MCU. And in a lot of ways, whether it's the Jonathan Majors scandal, whether it's the poorly reviewed shows, whether it's review bombing, whether it's not great movies, the cracks have really shown in the foundation, as much as I'm loath to admit it and still enjoy the product for the most part that's been put out. But I also would say that none of this stuff that came out this year was what I would describe as imminently rewatchable outside of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was kind of it for Marvel. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on our regular show. They probably need a break from content more than anybody. And this might have, this writer strike and actor strike might have been one of the best things for him, because maybe we get some recalibration here, and maybe it starts with Deadpool. So, Dave, I'm sorry I stepped on your moment. You're gonna tell us your biggest disappointment, and then we are gonna head into our second commercial break. So
I will see your MCU and raise you with the Flash. There was nothing more disappointing this year than the fucking Flash, I mean. From, we knew it was going to be problematic with Ezra Miller. I'm not talking about that. That was always going to be an issue. But there was so much speculation about this movie and about what they might do. Is this how they're going to reset the universe? Is this going to be Flashpoint Paradox? Is this how they're going to set things right? Even if Ezra's a train wreck, you got Michael Keaton in here. You got Supergirl. We got Zod. We got all this stuff. And it just was an absolute shit show in every respect. They didn't do anything. They didn't push any storyline forward. It was inconsequential. And it was at this moment that I realized that nothing matters that is tied to the DCEU. And that continues through Aquaman 2, which I saw as well. And it just, nothing matters. And I think this movie had so much potential. It was in development for so long. There were so many things that they could have done with it that they just didn't. And I know when we reviewed it, the disappointment that I had, that PC Tunney had, was palpable, even through the airwaves. You could just tell how upset we were and disappointed in this movie we were. And it just, as bad as the MCU was this year, it can't hold a candle to the train wreck that was the end of the DCEU here in 2023. And the Flash is the apex of the bullshit.
The synopsis for The Tip of the Sour Sword was the bastardization of one of the greatest comic book storylines in history of comic books, whether it be Marvel or DC, to not show bias either way or even to the character. That was the worst thing, because there were some cool things. Michael Keaton was excellent.
Yes.
You did get three different Batmen, which, like it or not, was kind of cool that at the end it was George Clooney.
Supergirl was very good. She was awesome.
Oh, my.
She was incredible.
The Swaggies are coming up, and none other better promotion for that than dead ass right there, Sasha Kelly. So I'm sorry, but yeah, it's just too bad. It really is. It was kind of clever the way he fixed the story at the end, but to not have the entire, you left everything out outside of Flash, really, for the most part. Like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are supposed to, like, terrorize and destroy most of Western Europe during this. And there's no mention of anything else going on that's being changed. But, no. Yeah, I agree, Dave. I just...
And we missed a huge opportunity to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne.
We did.
Huge missed opportunity.
Like the last episode that we did, one of the last episodes of Bandwagon Nerds, where we talked Gunn talking about cameo porn and how that was a problem. And this is a big example of that, because you've got, like Tony said, we had the opportunity to bring Aquaman and Wonder Woman into this movie and make this Flashpoint. But instead, you were more concerned with having Wonder Woman do meaningless cameos in Shazam 2 Fury of the Gods, and Aquaman showing up in, like, Peacemaker and shit like that. And it didn't matter.
Oh, Aquaman's in this movie, Dave. Don't you remember the last 3 minutes where he's drunk in a fucking puddle? Seriously.
Right. That's right. You're right.
Well, that has to be the worst post-credit scene in history.
You guys are leaving out the biggest example of cameo porn in that movie, and that's the climax. When they're showing the Nicolas Cage Superman, they're showing the Adam West Batman.
I think that was more of a goodbye to the DCU, Patrick.
That was
a goodbye to the DCU, as you know.
None of that shit was DCU
This is not arbitrary, Patrick. This is Marvel Patrick. Go ahead, Marvel Patrick.
No, this is Patrick, because you're telling me.
I haven't told you anything.
Because I don't like it in the way that it can be used in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I am iffy about it with Spider-Man. Like, the way it's been done has been stupid. But to say, quote-unquote, goodbye, you had to show Adam West Batman. You had to show, you know, Christopher Reeve and Helen Slater as Superman and Supergirl. You had to show fucking Nicolas Cage and his spider. Like, you didn't need to do any of that. George Reeves, you didn't need to do any of that. That's not saying goodbye to the DCU. That's a jerk off pat on the back to shit that they didn't make,
folks. This is why you
good shit that they didn't make, no less.
No, folks. This is why you don't click buy on the $40 Amazon gift card with COVID for a gift. This is why, right here.
I don't know what you want me to say, bro. Like I'm just saying, like that to me, that was the ultimate. Like, because all that moment was. Honestly, in a dumpster fire of a movie was an opportunity for people through their retainers to be like, oh my gosh, Nicolas Cage, he was supposed to be in a Superman movie. Now we get to see it. Like,
you know what's great about this rant? He is ranting about the DCEU, and I'm not the one that set him off. PC Tunney's the one that triggered him.
I'm not even mad. It's just like to sit there and say that this is the DCEU because they shoehorned a bunch of shit in. Like, get the fuck out of town.
I'm just glad that, in
synopsis, you're right. It was a very nice goodbye.
I'm glad Retainer Boy shows up here at the beginning of the year. That's all I care about.
Oh, yeah.
Retainer Boy is never leaving.
In style.
Are you staring at my headgear?
He's got a friend.
It's fine if you do. All right. We're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to continue to tell Tony why he's wrong about everything as we regale everything that was in the year 2023. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds, The Nerdies Part 1, here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to the Nerdies, part of the Bandwagon Nerds Year in Review 2023. I am joined by TJ, David Ungar, PC Tunney, fighting over the DCU, saying goodbye to things. We got four categories left for this week's edition. It's been a happy new year for me, as it is, because I've already kicked it off by proving how wrong Tunney is. So that's always fun.
That happened last year.
Happens every year. It'll happen this year, next year, and every year.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next category. Oh, by the way, if you enjoy hearing us fight, you know, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshort. Chair shot.
Just good. Chair shorts.
Oh, dude.
We need shorts.
Awesome, shorts. Man. Bandwagon chair, nerd shorts.
Chair shorts.
The chair shorts.
Except Nerdies right across the front.
Nerdies. I want it on the ass.
Nerdies. No, Nerdies on the front, Bandwagon on the back.
Juicy. All right. Our next category, breakout star of 2023. This is going to be interesting. Let's see how deep into the well we went, how out of the way obscure did we find? Who is going to be our breakout stars? We start this time with DJ, Dave, myself, and PC Tunney will tell us his last breakout. So DJ, what unknown international actor are you regaling us with today?
Probably none. And I really, this one was a tough one for me because, like I said, I haven't watched a whole lot of newer stuff. I went with Hayley Steinfeld. I think she's, you know, one, she's adorable. Two, she's been great in everything I've seen her in. And with, I guess from a lack of options and me not really thinking too much into it, she's the only one that came to mind.
That's fair. She was great in Across the Spider-Verse, reprising her role as Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
We saw her briefly in the Hawkeye special, though I think that came out in 2022. But she was in the Marvels in the post-credit scene with Amon Milani, who was my pick last year for a breakout star, which, by the way, she's a treasure.
I think she was a triple nerdy winner last year, by the way, Patrick.
Amon Milani?
Yes,
yeah, I think so.
Her, and I think Dave might have, too.
Yeah. And yeah, we keep waiting. She's one of those that, like, she's a known name, but she's not quite been the head, you know, been kind of the head of the table, the headliner yet. So I think she qualifies. Dave, Tony, there's no disagreement there, right?
Nope.
No.
Cool. All right, Dave, why don't you move and tell us your breakout star?
You'll like this because you mentioned Amon Vellani, and I know she appeared in Miss Marvel last year, but I thought she gets my vote this year because of her role in the Marvels. And I think, like, she went from being just kind of somebody on the, you know, in the MCU on Disney Plus with Miss Marvel and her portrayal of there to just completely dominating. And otherwise, and I know we all think the Marvels was better than I think anybody else did or anybody reviewed it, but
that could have been a nod for underrated, in my opinion. I thought that was one of the funnest movies I had seen superhero wise in a long time.
You know, I don't know. I had my issues with it, but she's not one of them. And I don't think I gave her the award last year simply because I didn't appreciate that show enough. But this performance that she did this year, where she went from just kind of being known amongst like our crowd to kind of exploding on the scene this year and getting much more wider recognition and her performance in that movie, just from where she started off as, you know, starstruck fangirl to fucking leader of the new Avengers, basically by the end of it. I think she really broke through in a lot of different ways. I know this is maybe it's cheating a little bit because she kind of broke on last year and you guys gave her the award last year. And I just think I slept on her, but not this year. I did not sleep on her this year. And I really grew to appreciate what she did this year and just her range of talent that I really think I kind of underestimated a year ago.
Get it out.
Not for public consumption.
No, definitely not. Do not.
I could literally hear the gears turning in the two of you chuckleheads as Dave was speaking. So giggity. Clearly shameful.
What did I do?
Table. You know what you did.
Tunney and I are Borg right now.
You've been hanging out with PC Tunney, haven't you?
here's the thing. It's so tough, Dave. It's too bad you don't like cats. Like that's basically what I've decided. is that you just had big problems with the Flerkin and the song from the musical Cat. No, I'm just teasing you. I agree with you guys. I think the Marvels was a very, very good superhero movie that fell victim to a multitude of problems, many of which we don't need to talk about. Imad Vellani is going to be a fucking superstar. The thing that you didn't talk about, Dave, that I'm surprised you didn't mention, she's also writing comics for Marvel for the Ms. Marvel title. Like, she is really Marvel and Dave Feige. They know they have something special with her. I just hope that they don't fuck it up, like, and overexpose her. Like, that's my concern, right? Is overexposure of a character, because then that turns love into hate, and we don't want that.
I agree.
So, all right, off to me and my breakout star. I'm going to butcher this young woman's name, but she had a hell of a 2023. Her name is Ayo Itabiri. She is probably, so here's how I know of her and where she really first caught my attention. She is the voice of April O'Neil in the TMNT Mutant Mayhem animated film. She also is a main cast member in the TV series The Bear, Sydney Adamu. Or I don't know if anybody's seen The Bear. It's a great show. You should check it out. Tony, so you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like her at all, I see.
No, our stars are very adjacent, so please tread lightly.
She's also the voice of Glory from Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And she was one of two people I thought of for this distinction. But the reason I went with Ayo instead of the other person that I thought of was because they have been very, very, like, their careers really started to take off. They're also in the show Bottoms, playing the character Josie, which is another great show that people should check out if they have time. She's done stints in Abbott Elementary. She was part of History of the World Part II. She did an episode of Black Mirror. She's really, really picking it. And she's also a regular voice cast member in the TV show Big Mouth. And so she's on the up and up. Her portrayal of April O'Neil is delightful. That was another film that, if you guys haven't checked out and you know, ignored, I really would consider watching it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Mutant Mayhem, a lot of fun. Rewatched it today with a little O'Dowd, along with a couple of other films. So it's on Paramount Plus of all streaming services to check out. So part of that Nickelodeon family that you get over there.
Nice.
There you go. All right, so I hope I didn't go too adjacent.
No, you're fine. You're good. I just didn't want you to get into The Bear too much, because my breakout star, I wouldn't want to sell him short. It's Jeremy Allen White, who is, you would probably know him firstly as Lip from Shameless for all those years. Now he is the main character in a series called The Bear, which is about him being a cook and having a restaurant. But more so in solidifying his popularity as a lead person in a streaming or TV series, which we knew he could do. He also stars as Cary Von Erich in The Iron Claw, a gigantic major feature motion picture film. So I feel like it's appropriate for him to get the breakout star of the year. I've always been a big fan of Jeremy Allen White.
Very cool. Yeah, I will say this. I haven't watched The Bear yet.
Good.
It is on the list of stuff to watch. I hear, yeah, it's reviewed very, very well. I am very interested in seeing it and hope to be able to check it out sooner rather than later. But excellent. All right. That moves us into best moment, and we are back to the top of the order. So it should be Dave, followed by myself, PC Tunney, and DJ wrapping us up this round. And a moment literally could be just about anything, real or imagined. So, Dave, I'm interested to hear what your moment was. Well,
hell, if it's imagined, then I've got a lot of great moments this year. But no, as far as like Tony with the look on his face, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the year for my best moment of the year. And this is because, as much as I shit on DC earlier with The Flash, this gave me hope. James Gunn announcing a true DC continuity at the very beginning of the year and laying out for us how he was going to do this. To me, that was the biggest moment of the, not the biggest moment. That would be something different. my best moment of the year was like as a DC fan to hear him tell me, here's what we're going to do. Here's my vision. Here's the movies. We're going to introduce some new stuff. We're going to go and do some old stuff. And here's how I want to approach it. It was refreshing to me after years of begging, you know, the DCEU, Zack Snyder, everybody involved. And Zack Snyder, you know, love him or hate him, he had the right idea as to where he wanted to go. It just went off the rails for a variety of reasons. But gun to, and then, you know, DC got away from that, said, oh, none of this shit is connected. We're just going to make a bunch of standalone movies. And then they thought, well, maybe we should connect it. But by then it was too late. So Gunn coming out right off the bat and saying, we're going to connect all this stuff. And anything that's not connected is over here in this little corner of the wall over here. But here's what we're going to do. I thought for the future of DC, that was probably the biggest moment for them of the year easily. And for me, it's my best moment because as a DC fan, like Tunney and I are, okay, this at least gives me some hope. So for me, whether he pulls it off or not, we'll see. But I thought that was my best moment of the year.
I love to hate Zack Snyder.
I know you do. We know you do, Pat.
Anyway, I don't know why I needed to say that, but I felt like I needed to say it.
Well, so it's kind of like, do you want to tell us your thoughts on Rise of Skywalker as well while we're at it?
Dave, can't wait. And so far, everything that we've heard and has been confirmed sounds like it's going to be solid.
They've got some good casting. You know, I mean, that first trailer for Superman Legacy is going to be anticipated, I would have to say. Whether even the people who hate this whole thing and wish Henry Cavill would come back, it's going to be highly anticipated.
You are not wrong.
It happens once every year.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. Time to get to my moment. My moment came in a film. My moment was watching Godzilla Minus One. And it's when Godzilla fires up and breathes for the first time in that movie and wipes out half a city with the way that they build the anticipation of that moment. So for those of you who haven't seen it, it's just the best I've ever seen them do, Godzilla blasting something with his breath as his tail literally charges up and the spikes on his back, the spines like start to protrude and they start to glow with this bigger and bigger intensity. And then there's just this perfect, like, silent pause, and then it happens. And then they accompany it with the old Godzilla music as he's walking on land. And for those of you who don't know it, like, I don't want to ruin it by trying to sing it because my voice is a wreck right now. But you know the Godzilla song when you hear it. It's awesome. That moment was so huge. My kid walking out of the theater was singing the song and talking about the fire breath. Like, it's amazing. It's everything I want. And I've talked about Godzilla Minus One ad nauseum on the Bandwagon Nerds airwaves. So this should come as no surprise to anybody that I would, you know, continue to go on and on about this particular film in this moment. But that was I haven't fangirled that hard since Endgame, since Portals. I was nuts for it. I was in the palm of my hand, and it crushes me and yet excites me that Toho was like, we're going to take our time with the sequel because we want to get it right. Best answer ever, yet worst answer ever, because I want it tomorrow.
If I could to jump in here, I love this call. And I think, you know, like my wife's been watching religiously Monarch, Legacy of Monsters on Apple. And I love comparing it. And that's a great show, too. Don't get me wrong. But I love comparing the Godzilla in that and the movies that came before that to Godzilla Minus One, especially this atomic breath, because the Godzilla in those, his scales light up as well and that sort of thing. But the effect of the atomic breath from Godzilla Minus One to this other one is night and day. You know, when he blows that breath in Godzilla Minus One, it is a true nuclear fucking explosion. You know, it may be a smart bomb or an isolated, a dirty nuke sort of effect, but it is wide and vast. And it's like a mushroom cloud. It is a mushroom cloud. And when you watch him in all the other stuff, the Monarch things, it's very isolated, focused on an enemy. And it's devastating, yes, but it's not city leveling like it is in this movie. So I think that they have, nobody's portrayed that effect better than Godzilla Minus One. So I love the call, Pat.
Thank you. Go watch Godzilla Minus One.
Please.
Everybody.
I have a feeling you're going to hear more. I have a feeling you're going to hear more about it as nerdies go on.
Tony, what's your moment? What's your best moment of the year?
Fuck you, Ray Cash, for not showing up. Yeah, fuck you, Ray Cash, for not showing up today.
That's your moment of the year, Ray not showing up?
No, my moment of the year is a weekend.
My disappointment of the year.
My moment of the year is a weekend, and it's a weekend that America went back to the box office, and Barbenheimer is my moment of the year. It's like in the top five for dual features, fourth like highest grossing opening weekend of all time. Between the two of them, you know, for just a weekend at the movies and the numbers they did, the phenomenon it started, the Barbenheimer as a you know, a vocabulary term for the year 2023 is just something. And if you think about it overall, it's something that's a real good feeling when we look back of being in the middle of the pandemic and wondering what it's going to look like when things get back to normal, and will things such as going to the movies survive? And Barbenheimer proved that, yes, it will. No matter what happens, no matter what new technology comes along that you can stay at home and consume all of this, people are still going to want to go out and congregate and get together and do things. And watching movies is still one of them.
Yeah, it's crazy the phenomenon that those two movies created. I still remember taking my son to see The Haunted Mansion the weekend after Barbenheimer debuted in theaters, and he was like, "Why is everybody wearing pink? What's going on?" And you know, explaining to him that people are very, very excited about these two movies. You know, and obviously the outward part of Barbie wearing pink. Or the Barbie part of wearing pink, but he had trouble wrapping his brain around that because he was like, "But there's a Haunted Mansion movie." I was like, "Sorry, dude, the world does not agree with you in this case." And it was amazing. It was terrific, and it was something I think theaters desperately need. I really do. I really think that was something that was huge. So excellent choice, Tony. Very, very well thought out. DJ, what was your moment of 2023?
My runner-up was definitely the Barbenheimer phenomenon, and the discussions that it spawned, the just everything that went around that. But my biggest moment of the year was saying goodbye to the Guardians of the Galaxy as we know it. And well, I remember when the first Guardians of the Galaxy was announced, I remember taking a shit on it mainly because I'm like, okay, it's a talking raccoon and a talking tree. How well is this going to do? And then James Gunn created something memorable and timeless and fun. And the Guardians of the Galaxy went from being something that I took shit on to something that was probably my favorite part of the MCU. And to say goodbye to those guys was a little hard, but I think he wrapped it up in such a spectacular way. Again, we had some of those folks on the Deadpool, you know, and we were okay. I don't think Star-Lord's going to make it out alive. Drax was at the top of my Deadpool list. Like, I really thought they were going to kill off Drax, and they didn't do that. And I just thought the way that it ended, the way that they sent everybody off into the sunset was amazing. And that was my personal pick for moment of the year.
I'll just say this to go along with DJ, that in part two of The Nerdies, this movie will win an award from me.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I love the call, DJ, and it was like Gunn's love letter to the MCU as he left and goes and tackles, you know, my moment of the year. So kind of we're in sync here, DJ. We both have James Gunn involved.
Well, he could have phoned it in and he didn't.
No,
the beauty of it.
He left.
He couldn't have though. He couldn't on a personal level have phoned that in because
that's my point.
Would have looked. Yeah, I got you.
I mean, from a professional.
His dedication to that.
And he's a professional.
Hold on. And also consider how hard the cast fought to get him back. Remember, he was fired.
Right.
And then brought back because Marvel was hasty and stupid and held him accountable for something he'd already apologized for years ago. And it took they literally almost lost their entire cast. Dave Bautista was very clear he was not coming back if James Gunn was not back.
Right.
And he was the most vocal about it. So he was not going to do that to that cast after they did that for him either. No way.
He honored the franchise in the best way possible and delivered easily, you know, I know Tunney's talking about next week's show, easily the best Marvel film of the year. And it's not close.
I mean, I disagree, but that's okay.
That there's a better Marvel film or that there's something close?
That there's a better Marvel film.
What was better? Just curious.
Oh, in our next category, best animated work, Patrick goes first, followed by PC, followed by DJ, then Dave. My best animated work, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, was the best fucking Marvel movie that hit theaters this year.
I mean, I was talking MCU movie.
Well, they're in the MCU. It fucking literally had Donald Glover's Prowler, part of the MCU.
Do you see the kayfabe anger that PC Tunney invokes as opposed to the real anger that DJ and Dave invoke? Patrick and I are playing a game. I'm not actually angry. You guys just torture Patrick.
But it's fun. Look at the reaction I get out of him. It's great radio, pal.
I'm not pissed. I just love how that segue. Dave's like, what could possibly be wrong?
Almost think we planned that. He's triggered.
What sorcery is this? I don't. Real quick, did anybody else have Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse as their top animated film?
I do.
All right, so DJ did as well. So, or animated work, because it could be a series as well, and I don't know if people put that far and away for. And I went back and forth between two films, and I literally rewatched it today. This is one of the other films that I watched with Little O'Dowd, and. There's a couple of things that I kind of go back to when I look at like what makes a movie truly great. And that is, if there is a movie that will hold an 11-year-old's attention for damn near 3 hours on repeated viewings, that's filmmaking. Like that's a great film. Sony did something. Sony Animation. Let's be clear. Sony Animation did something that I didn't think was possible. And that is that they, in my opinion, met, if not exceeded, the film that it was a sequel to, and completely flipped the script on so many great things. Like their concept of a multiverse and the way that they work a multiverse has been, in my opinion, it's been spot on and brilliant. The idea that Miles shares DNA with a different universe because he got bit by a spider from that universe. And so he shares DNA with that spider to then be brought in and leave with this cliffhanger that literally made my son go, they're ending it there, is amazing. That they made Gwen, Spider-Gwen, really the focal bookending narrator of the story instead of Miles was a stroke of genius. And to encapsulate it all in this, you know, swirl of emotion that is Miles Morales as a teenager wanting to, you know, and kind of challenging the Spider-Man mythos of like keeping everything a secret from those you love, that there's these certain events that have to happen in order for you to be Spider-Man, and Miles being the one to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. This is not going to be what happens to me. This is not going to be our fate. And then you tie it all in with Jason Schwartzman as arguably both the most ridiculous and terrifying villain that you could throw out there. Like if you told me that I'd be terrified of the spot at the end of Across the Spider-Verse, I would have told you you're nuts. Then I watched the movie. Then I watched the movie again, and it was easily my favorite Marvel film of 2023. And to me, honestly, frankly, it was between that and Guardians, and I felt like Across the Spider-Verse was slightly better. It did it for me in a way that Guardians didn't quite. So that's my top animated film and animated work of 2023. Tony, what you got, buddy?
No, great call. And I know that says a lot because you're a huge Spider-Man guy, right? And you're not just going to give your approval or glowing praise on anything. You're going to want it to be.
No, because I will shit on shitty Spider-Man.
No, and I'm just saying that means a lot. It means more coming from like you, especially like on the opposite when Dave and I talk bad about, you know, something so DC. So, my best animated work was Mario. It's Super Mario Brothers. The amount of money it made, the fact that it delivered from a standpoint of being very good. It wasn't excellent. It played to the kids more. It got over with the crowd it needed to make the amount of money it needed. It was not for young millennials and older Gen Xers who played the video game in the 80s. That's not who this was for. Yet, at the same time, as being one of those people, I also enjoyed what they did with it. The cast they had was wonderful. I thought Jack Black was phenomenal. So I throw it out there for Super Mario Brothers. Just the fact that this is another thing in a line of video game movies that is just inspiring more titles to come out, and really a genre that I think is going to deliver over the next decade, especially as we turn to more live action video game movies and things of that nature. But Super Mario Brothers, just the sheer nature of its dominance of money wise globally, I think $1.3 billion.
It was huge. Who would have thought, by the way, that a song that just repeated the word peaches over and over and over again for damn near 30 seconds would top downloads for a few weeks? Like, that was nuts. But Jack Black, yeah, I can't argue that. It was thoroughly entertaining.
Jack Black is a renaissance man and underrated for his time.
For me, largely because I knew, you know, Pat, I had a suspicion you were going to go with Spider-Verse or Blue-Eyed Samurai for animated work. This is totally recent and big time recency bias, but it's What If Season 2. I have thoroughly enjoyed these episodes so far. And I think, like, you know, like, Tony, you talked about the Grandmaster one with Tony's episode 4, which was just so much fun. And it's just, it's a very different feel from Season 1, some of the stuff that they're doing, and it's more, you know, it's more of these sub characters that you don't normally think about mixed in with the main line guys. But yeah, not everything that the MCU did this year was subpar. And I think What If Season 2, and I still got a couple episodes to finish because they haven't released them all, of course, but I have thoroughly enjoyed What If Season 2. It's a lot of fun. They, you know, do some things like Pat, you're talking earlier with the 1602 that doesn't follow storyline completely, but just like everything else that the MCU's done for a decade, you know, or more, they take elements of the story that we know and love and they put their own twist on it. So I've greatly enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to seeing how it ends up. And if you believe Ray's post earlier today, we've already got a season 3 greenlit. So
yeah, I've absolutely enjoyed What If. I've found the episodes to be a lot of fun. I loved the actually loved that we were introduced to a new character that I think we will see transition into the live action realm. And I'm trying to make sure it was a Corey or Kahori or something. Kahari. Yeah. She's a Native American character that, you know, her along with Echo, a couple of big steps in getting some new blood and some new representation as part of the MCU as well. And so I'm very much interested in how this all resolves. This one seems to be very much focused on Captain Britain, which Haley Atwell, by the way, who would have thought that Peggy Carter out of Captain America, the First Avenger, would be going as strong as she is, almost kind of like mythic legendary, to the point where I think it's only a matter of time before she pops up in the MCU proper in some way, shape or form. Because that Captain Britain character is very, very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were pissed, myself included, of how she was done a little dirty in Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness.
A lot of them were done kind of dirty in that movie.
I'm on that list.
Yes.
I was not happy. Plus Haley Atwell.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal actress. I'm gonna
lovely lady. Lovely lady.
Yes. I understand where you're going there. This does bring us, though, gentlemen, to our final category of part one. That is best streaming service. This should be interesting this year. I'm not sure what people will have their criteria based upon. It's always interesting to see where this goes. The order for this final category will be PC Tunney, followed by DJ, Dave, and then myself going last. And so, Mr. Tunney, it is to you. What was your best streaming service of 2023?
This is the one I kind of thought about all day, and I didn't know what I was going to pick until I just really said to myself, if I could only have one of them, honestly, which one would it be? And I think it would be Peacock. I think Peacock has done a great job of getting a lot of new movie content on there. They have their own exclusive streaming series like Poker Face. They also have all of the NBC stuff, so I can watch Saturday Night Live the next morning without commercials. In addition, their footprint in the sports world has grown. Not only from college athletics to the NFL, they also have like Tour de France, the Olympics. Obviously, they've had Premier League soccer for a long time, all things that I'm interested in, and they're looking to expand that even more so on the golf side. And then let's not forget WWE Network lives there as well. So not only do you get everything NBC and a lot of great movies, but they're also stepping up their game as far as sports and original content. Plus, you got all the old stuff, like Patrick's watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now.
You know, you can't go wrong with the cock.
Dude, I don't know if you guys heard that, but my kid just yelled Nine-Nine in the back.
Nice. I just say to him, you can't go wrong with the cock, guys.
The LOD, gets a doubt on the ding on the nerdies. Well,
don't tell him I said that last part. He doesn't need to hear that.
God.
Oh, I can just see the conversation now. Patrick, where's our son? I think he just jumped on the cock over there.
What?
DJ, what was your top streaming service of 2023?
Much like Tunney, I had a hard time figuring this one out. And the only criteria that I had was which one do I watch the most? And because of WWE stuff, probably the Peacock. If I were saying anything other than WWE, I'd probably be Netflix, because I think I probably spend the most amount of time on there. But for sheer volume, Peacock.
Peacock is tonight's fourth double nerdy winner. That ties an overall record from 2021. Wouldn't that be awesome if we had like the announcer person behind there? Like this is.
We need Chris Platt to do that.
Fourth nomination, Christopher first Platt win. To do that. We need Kriba to do it. We need Amber to do it. It's gotta be a
somebody
female voice.
Anyway,
not me.
So is it me or you, Pat?
It's you. I'm last.
This is a tough one. I mean, as far as like what I watch most, I would have to agree with the guys. It's probably Peacock because of the WWE stuff. But as far as like this show and what's most central to this show, I'm still giving it to Disney Plus because, you know, you've got the MCU, you know, we had what, you know, for all of its faults, you had Secret Invasion. You had What If, Loki season 2, of course, was this year. You have on the Star Wars side, Ahsoka. Let's not forget about that one. That was a huge show. And it just, you know, you had the stuff about the Beatles. It's just very central to the things that we love. You've got the two universes that we are involved with a lot of the time, the MCU and Star Wars, still residing there. And I think, you know, if it wasn't going to be that or Peacock, you know, Prime almost got my vote here, just because there's been some really good stuff on Prime as well. But yeah, I'd have to say just like my go-to, the thing that I go to when I'm looking for nerdy stuff, I tend to gravitate towards Disney Plus still more than anything else.
Wow. All right. This might come as a surprise, fellas.
Apple.
Nope. Max. Max okay. is my streaming service of the year. And I'll tell you why. Max, we talk about under the radar shows. Max gave me Warrior. Max gave me Doom Patrol. We got the end of Doom Patrol. Max gives me Turner Classic Movies. Max is where I go at the end of the day now when I'm looking for something to watch. Max has such documentaries have become a big thing that I watch. And Max is putting out some really, really, really good documentaries these days. And it's just, it becomes kind of what, you know, kind of what you guys are talking about when I'm looking for something to watch and it's just me. I'm going to Max. And I wouldn't have told you that last year, I think I went Disney Plus. But it's Max. I've even gone back and started trying to catch up on some of that DC animation you guys want me to catch up on.
That is a
like,
great
that's
place.
There.
Oh, yeah. Tiny
Toons Looniversity. Believe it or not, Tiny Toons Looniversity, their little animated series, their remake of Tiny Toon Adventures. Great stuff. Fun to watch.
They're tiny. They're toony. They're all little loony, right? And in this cartoony, they're invading your TV.
There's a they put in a documentary about David Bowie, Moon Age Daydream. Nice. Fucking awesome. Gremlins, Secret of the Mogwai. If you want to go back into the day of...
Did you hear there may be a Gremlins 4 in the works?
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Okay. It came up, so I thought I'd just throw it out there. It looks like to me the dog smelled it and quickly backed away and said, I'm not really interested in it this time.
I'm nervous about it. How's that? Because I enjoyed the new match. I really did.
Where do you want this to land on the timeline of Gremlins? I mean, could this be a prequel? Could this be in between? Could this be the latest time? I mean, where do you want this to land in that
universe? I would probably go full sequel if I were to do it. That would just be me. We'll have to see. A couple other shows that are worth its salt, that are worth checking out on Max, that we've talked about before, Our Flag Means Death, Taika Waititi's series. And then you heard me talking about Studio Ghibli and Miyazaki films. Max still has a Studio Ghibli hub where you can basically watch every Studio Ghibli film ever made in either Japanese or in an English dub. So great, great stuff over there at HBO Max. And it is my streaming service of the year.
They probably do the best job of dividing their content into genres, like respectively. Like you can scroll down their list without getting into anything and know exactly what you're looking for.
It's an easy navigation.
Right. Yeah.
And Max is home to a show that you're going to hear a lot about from me next week. So I'm not going to give it away yet.
Oh, so no spoilers there, which does beg the question, does remind everybody, this is it for our first half of the Nerdies. We will be coming back next week for part two, the conclusion, where we will start to highlight some actors, some actresses, best movies, best series. We start getting it in. Yes. We forgot to points.
I got Dave's. Yeah.
You figured
it out.
Yeah.
Points? What'd you say?
Did we do some sort of point system last year? I can't even remember.
I did, and I was ridiculed for it, so I decided not to do this year.
Gosh, this is what I've slept since then, so I'd forgotten. But who cares? I had a great time going over all these with you guys today. I look forward to doing this again next week when we wrap up the streaming. Are you okay there, Tony? That wasn't even meant to be a slide on you.
Oh, no, I just,
it's fine. It's like I stabbed an open wound and I didn't even know I did it. No,
basically every time a certain streaming service got an award, we put a point towards that.
Right.
The best
and
overall.
We did like an overall.
We already have the
category. This year we just gave it away.
Yeah, it's the cock.
I mean, this year, too, it was a double nerdy. So I guess in that respect, yeah, if you go by the majority rules. All right, before we get out of here, let's do a quick once around. Tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network. This week we will start. DJ, tell them where to find you and how to listen to you.
You can listen to me every Saturday on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Jason, Rob, and I, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod. And if you want to watch video of our ugly mugs, you can go check us out on YouTube. Just look it up, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
David Ongar.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at X at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and on Threads and Instagram at Attitude of Aggression, all one word. And of course, if you disagree with our picks, you didn't like, a double nerdy on the cock, whatever the case may be, then please send your hate tweets to at It's Me DPP. Why, Tony?
Yeah, fuck that guy.
PC Tony.
You can find me promoting ScreenX and writing a strongly worded letter to Max about the cancellation of Showtime, the LA Lakers. Continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms and thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Always use your head. And make sure to follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is WRESTLNGREALIST. Also, make sure that you follow the show on the X Twitter at Bandwagon Nerds. We need more than 11 people to vote on a name of an award show. So, listener, follow us. Follow our polls. Vote. Vote, vote, vote. We're begging. This is how you get stuck with the nerdies.
I thought the Wagoners was an excellent choice, but I got outvoted there.
Honestly,
you did.
My retort to other would have been the BWNs.
Yeah. Hindsight being everything.
The problem with the Wagoners, DJ, is that, Robert was calling us with a cease and desist and saying, no, you can't have the Wagoners.
The Wagoneers.
I said the Wagoneers. It wasn't the Wagoners. It was the Wagoneers was what I wanted.
Okay. All right. Well, it didn't make it, so we'll move on.
Damn it!
As it is...
Stop arguing.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagoners. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a lovely, wonderful New Year's Eve slash day. We will catch you next week for part two of the Nerdies. You've been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I tried. Oh, oh, I have feelings that I can't explain. Driving me insane. All my life been so polite, but I'll sleep alone tonight. 'Cause I'm just kidding. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility? I'm just kidding. Where I see love, she sees a friend. What will it take for her to see the man behind the tan and fight for me?
The spider that gave you your powers wasn't from your dimension. It was never supposed to bite you! There's a world out there with no Spider-Man to protect them because it bit you instead.
No.
You're not supposed to be Spider-Man.
No, you're lying. I'm Spider-Man.
You're a mistake. If you hadn't been bit, your Peter Parker would have lived.
Instead, he died, saving you.
He would have stopped the collider before it ever went off. Spot wouldn't exist, and none of this would have happened. And all this time, I have been the only one holding it all together.
Miguel, go easy on him!
You don't belong here. You never did.
Let me go!
Miguel, that's enough!
This isn't what we talked about!
You talked about this? You knew? You all knew?
I didn't know how to tell you.
That's why you never came to see me.
Oh, he smells like bad life choices.
One drink. Just one drink that doesn't taste like a theme park urinal.